Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I like it, Sean. Your choice or a request?
That was a request from everyday listener Billy.
Billy, thank you, Billy. Some parts of this country perhaps under alien drone attack, and so all space-themed rejoins this morning. Shy, taking your request. There is some breaking Red Sox news, Curtis.
Yeah, and when you're wrong, you're wrong. I am so sorry for ever doubting the Boston Red Sox. Mark Feinsohn, lead national baseball reporter at MLB.com. He's reporting that the Red Sox, quote, appear hesitant, unquote, to spend what it takes to land Corbin Burns. According to Mark Feinsohn, he floats a reunion with, wait for it, Courtney will be happy, Nick Pavetta.
No way. Who's this Mark Feinstein?
Feinsohn.
Yep. The lead writer for MLB.com.
I just told you in the beginning of that comment.
All right. He's doing jumping jacks to try to defend the Red Sox.
Curtis is right. He's you with old. Mac Jones.
All right. It's one bag of merch, and the dude will turn into an acrobat.
He's the lead writer for MLB. Yeah. Just like the reports were for The Athletic yesterday. So, I mean, everybody's got their sources out there. Okay. I'll buy it.
What in the world?
What's Heyman saying?
I don't know. I'm just telling you their story, and it's being reposted by all the baseball people in Boston.
I'll rock with Mark Feinsohn.
Well, I'll tell you what. They are very close to alienating, pun intended, the majority of their fan base, whoever was left.
Yep.
They're very close to pissing everybody off.
They're really close.
Like, you have been... Can I say piss poor? I just did.
Yeah.
You've been piss poor for the majority of the, for a large part of the last decade. And you're not willing to spend the money to get the guys in here to turn it around, which you told Alex Cora you were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Are we getting to Alex? I know we're getting to Breslow. Are we getting to Alex Cora during They Said It Too or no?
Yeah, we can mix in some Alex Cora for sure.
Yeah. I would just say as a public service announcement, like, I'm right. Almost all the time. So if you just listen and don't fight it, you'll be a lot happier.
John! Hey, Raffy!
Hey, anybody!
Yeah. All right. Some leads remain this morning. Courtney is back from jury duty just for today. Won't tell us anything at all about the case or the experience or how long she's going to be there. She's keeping it all a secret, which I guess is what you're required to do. But we're glad to have you back for today. And your lead this morning.
Luigi Mangione is the name on everybody's lips right now. I believe it's the most Googled name at the moment. And we've already talked about it a little bit this morning. But what's been concerning to me is the public's response to an arrest. Whether it's people that are, and I understand innocent until proven guilty, and if people are coming out saying, I know this kid, it can't be him. You know, I understand people speaking out in that way. But what I've seen on social media, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, the amount of people that are supporting this suspect, in supporting him doing the action in assassinating Brian Thompson, is shocking to me. Not to mention the female response And the female response, it is Ted Bundy all over again.
They're horned up.
People are
for the guy.
I mean, you're seeing people saying, reminder, incarcerated people can still get married. I will be writing him. They're being serious. Like, this is the hottest man I've ever seen, and he's smart, and he planned this entire thing. It's really messed up, I think, the way in which we're glamorizing a potential assassination and the way in which we're romanticizing a potential villain.
Ladies love the bad boy.
But this is on a whole nother level. It's crazy to me seeing some of these videos that are coming out about him, especially the bit of an outbreak that he had going into the court. We're going to get to that in the news. But almost every response under some of these videos is positive, saying, you know, I support Luigi. Free Luigi. Luigi's so hot, I want to marry him. He's the hottest man I've ever seen. He's so smart.
It's Luigi time.
I don't know if it's just the state that
it's
we live
sick.
In
it's
right
weird.
Now.
But women are attracted sometimes to death row people and
bad
stuff.
Boy. They love the
you,
bad boy.
You had a run in with Pen Pal, if I remember correctly.
Right? Pen Pal was very kind to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I've never... I can understand falling in love with somebody who ends up in jail or falling in love with somebody who is in jail. These are people that don't know him at all and are just basing it off of the fact that of what he looks like and the fact that they think that what he's done is just so unbelievably smart.
We have a city councilor in the city of Boston who is married to a convicted murderer who is in jail.
Well,
that woman is in a little bit of trouble herself.
Right.
I don't know if you've seen that or not.
Johnny Bach got married and divorced twice while he was in jail.
I love Charlie Manson. But don't you think it's a bit different when people just immediately are drawn to a man?
No.
It's been shocking to me, the response.
All right, Courtney, thank you. Wiggy, your lead this morning?
All right, my lead, and I'll make it quick. I'm giving the Sox till Sunday because they still...
I thought it was Monday.
Sunday.
We'll give them till Sunday night at
11:59 p.m.
Okay.
Because they still have the opportunity to sign. You know, there's still three of the top free agents are still available.
And a quick note, Mark Feinstein last night noted that the Red Sox were going to go to Nathan Eovaldi, and then 2 hours later, Eovaldi signed with the Rangers, so he went off the board.
So we'll keep an eye on Feinstein and what he has to say. They still got the Japanese kid, Sasaki. Obviously, we talked about Burns and Bregman, and then possibility for trading for the kid, Garrett Crochet.
They're running out of options.
They are running out of options quickly.
It's last call.
Oh, yes.
And they're going to end up with, two at 10 or however the expression goes.
So if they end up with a 2 at 10 p.m. or, you know.
Instead of a 10 at 2.
Yes, I think then that's where really, really going to be like the fans that give them a little leeway are all going to be like, yeah, this is it. We'll see you.
Okay.
We'll see you later.
All right, Wiggy. So you're giving him more time.
I give him till Sunday night at 11:59 p.m.
Right. Well, I'm done. We've talked a lot about the future of Gerard Mayo on this show, and it seems like Wiggy and Ty Law and Rob Ninkovich and perhaps others, I don't know where currently, Curtis, Scheim, Courtney stand, but there are many who think that Gerard Mayo deserves another chance because of the roster or because he was replacing the greatest to ever do it. Greg Bedard reported this week that Gerard Mayo is coaching for his job over the final four games. And sources in the building, source says, told Bedard that Robert Kraft would not hesitate to fire his hand-picked successor to Bill Belichick if the Patriots owner felt like he had made the wrong choice. Curtis alluded to this earlier, but it seems like, and this is Greg Bedard's reporting as well, that those who came in and interviewed for either OC position with Gerard Mayo and Elliot Wolf and Robin Glazer left feeling that the discussions were, quote, light on football. Maybe more on the weather and the traffic and the some of the fine establishments that one can go to on Route 1 or whatever.
Right. Will you be nice to the sponsors?
Yeah. So, Robert Kraft, if we take him at his word that he identified Gerard Mayo as the next head coach for this organization 5 years ago, I think did it because he felt like Gerard Mayo was the exact opposite of Bill Belichick.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Kraft told you that he made a mistake by giving Bill all the control that he gave Bill. So he was, I believe, looking for somebody who would not want all the control and somebody that Curtis alluded to earlier, somebody that would do the things that Bill wouldn't, that he and Jonathan hated in that organization. It wanted somebody who would be open and transparent with the media.
Mm.
Somebody who would meet with their sponsors and would do all the things that Bill didn't do because Bill was focused on football. I don't believe that Gerard Mayo is the guy.
Mm.
No disrespect to him.
No.
I think he's very nice. He's great on this program. I really like him as a person. But if you go down the road for another season trying to find out if he is the guy,
mm-hmm.
then I think you risk the development of the most important asset that you have, and that is Drake May.
Right.
And so it alarms me if others are interviewing for a job
mm-hmm.
with a pro football organization and the discussion that you're having with them is light on football.
Mm-hmm.
You look at every single, I don't care what stat you want to pick. This team, with essentially the same roster, the awful roster that you say Bill left them,
uh-huh.
is worse in every single statistical category.
Yep.
Every single one. And they have had, up until this point, the easiest schedule in the entire NFL. So, you got to get...
And the side of the ball that he should be most successful with has had the most precipitous fall. Which is defense.
And he doesn't seem to, if you're pissed off and you're Gerard Mayo, take over the play calling. Can you take over the defensive play calling? I don't know.
There's no way Bill does it because what it does.
Bill, what do you mean,
Bill? I mean, Robert does it. Excuse me. What it does, it then makes you look like a joke in the NFL.
Then why are people saying that Robert would do it?
But I'm not saying that he wouldn't do it, but then what happens is the next guy who he potentially could be sitting down with to be the next head coach, do you think that guy is going to trust Robert when Robert says, hey, we want you, and you just fired a guy you drafted, a guy that was one of the better players for your organization, a guy that was on your coaching staff for a while.
And we don't want to be a revolving door.
No guy's I would not have confidence to go in and do an interview and be like, oh, I can believe Robert Kraft after he fired Gerard Mayo after 1 year.
You are risking letting somebody like Ben Johnson walk away. And
Ben Johnson ain't coming here.
And not be available.
If I'm Ben Johnson, because I don't trust Robert Kraft.
Write him a giant check.
Right,
these guys don't care.
But he's not going to do that.
You think they trust any other owner in the NFL?
But Wiggy's right. It's sort of the way the Red Sox were viewed after they fired Heim Bloom, and they had to go through 10 guys before they landed on Breslow because the Red Sox hired Heim Bloom to have him rebuild and trade Mookie. He did that. They now have one of the best farm systems in baseball, and they fired him.
Why would I believe an owner?
What has he done to show you that he has the potential to be
We're not talking about Gerard Mayo. But I'm saying the reason why I don't think Robert does it because the next guy, if I'm Ben Johnson, why would I trust Robert Kraft that if I struggle my first year, he's not going to fire me.
So you're going to stick with a guy who you know is not the right guy because you're worried about somebody not taking the job or what somebody's going to think about
you?
For another year?
Yeah, for at least one more year.
Why not another year after that?
Because
maybe he can't get his feet under him for 2 years.
But wouldn't you like to see what Gerard Mayo did with a more talented team? It all goes back to Elliott Wolf.
No, because I've seen what he did with the exact same team that Bill Belichick had, and it is way worse than Bill Belichick had.
But if Ben Johnson's here, and I said this before, Vrabel, with this roster, everybody's bad. So you're having the same conversation that, hey, fire a guy after 1 year, and if Ben Johnson is the next guy, and let's say...
Would Mike Vrabel have started Drake May week one?
I would hope so.
Okay.
I would hope so.
So that's mistake number one.
Yes, that is the biggest mistake I give him.
Okay.
So but is that him or Elliot
Wolf? Here we go again. You're always making excuses for him.
I'm not making excuses. I'm asking the question.
Get rid of both of them then. If that's the way you want to do it, get rid of both of them. But you always say, oh, we got to wait until he gets a better roster.
Right.
Like, we have seen what he did with Drake May, and you tell me all the time he made a massive mistake.
Yes. He made a massive mistake.
Okay.
If he doesn't learn, he learned from that mistake. It took him 6 weeks to figure it out. But now it's like in the off season, if he doesn't get the players, then you're going to have the conversation, was Jerod Mayo really given a legitimate chance? So if Ben Johnson's coming in here, if Ben Johnson goes, wait a second, yeah, I have Drake May, but if I don't have talent around him, I'm struggling.
What can I do with this?
I'm struggling. Yeah. And guess what? If you're willing to fire Mayo after 1 year,
right?
You're willing to fire me after 1 year. That's not a good look for Ron. Now you become.
It's a joke
the,
of a.
You become the Carolina Panthers.
Exactly.
And who their owner is.
Yeah. And I would say that the bigger reason why the Patriots, if we're to blame one thing, it's the inability of Kraft to spend in the offseason. That would be the number one reason they are where they are. That is far ahead of the head coach.
Okay, but that's not going to change. So,
well, it has to, or else they'll suck.
Well, right. But you say it all the time with John Henry. Like, everybody looking at it from the outside can say, geez, they need to spend the money. Like, Robert Kraft has been this way for 20 years.
But they have to spend this offseason, not because it's the right thing to do, because it will make them compliant with the CBA. They have to spend a certain amount of money.
Elliot Wolf spent $4 million on a guy that he just mutually agreed to part ways with.
Right.
But even in the John Henry case, that you bring up, a lot of people don't criticize or blame Alex Cora. They blame John Henry and the front office for not putting pieces on that baseball
team. Alex Cora has won a World Series and has been coaching for a decade.
But
it's a completely different
No, it's
position.
Not.
It is. It
if
is.
Gerard,
yeah, it is.
No, if Gerard
yeah, you can
May,
yell as loud as you want no, that, it is, that it's not. It is. It's the exact same. It's a
so,
completely different situation.
So let
situation.
Me ask a simple question.
Yeah.
Do you think Gerard Mayo struggles because he doesn't have talented players, or he's just not a good enough coach?
I don't think he's a good enough coach.
Okay.
I don't think he has been able to. He told you he's been unable to change the culture in a year.
Okay.
And that's what he was brought in for.
Okay, so you don't believe that you believe the Ross has enough talent that if you got a good coach.
I think it has enough talent to be. By the way, the roster has a giant influx of additional talent in the quarterback.
Okay.
So I think it has enough talent
right.
with an easier schedule than Bill had
oh.
to have more wins than they had last season. Yes, I do.
Okay. So Bill wasn't able to do it because you blame the scheduling. So it was more the difficult schedule that they faced
I don't know what you're trying to.
It's simple.
I do not think that Gerard Mayo is the guy who should be the head coach of this football team.
Right. And you believe it's not the talent. He has enough talent to have a winning football team, in your mind.
He has enough talent to, with the addition of Drake May, getting Gonzalez back, who he didn't have all season last year, to have a better record than Bill did. Yes,
okay.
With an easier schedule. Yes. Yes.
It does worry me because Bedard had the report after the London game that maybe they were second-guessing things back in the summer. So these reports that Bedard keeps running with when it comes to Gerard Mayo is coming from someone.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, anyway, those are our leads. We're going to get to They Said It, a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports coming up after Courtney and what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Bruins fell to the Jets 8-1. Winnipeg came alive in the third period last night with 5 goals. Pasta had the only goal for the Bees in the second, and Jeremy Swayman was in goal with 27 saves in the loss. They're now on the road. They have the Kraken in Seattle tomorrow, the same day the Celtics have the Pistons at home. And you've got to try the 99 Restaurant's new $14.99 Big Deal Meals. 4 hearty full-size entrees for just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday, like the roasted turkey dinner or the juicy chopped sirloin. You got to love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It's 47 degrees and cloudy. Afternoon high, 62.
Yeah. Our drone camera activated on Twitch or on YouTube. If you have yet to watch this show on Twitch or on YouTube, you should. Just go to Twitch and follow WEEI. And we are watching the skies here all over New England for space alien drones. So we will obviously alert you if they arrive. And in the case of those that are watching, you'll be able to see it first tomorrow on this show. I cannot wait to talk to Bill O'Brien about Bill Belichick and how he thinks Bill will do and when it comes to college football. Mm-hmm. So that will be tomorrow morning at 6:45 on this show. We're going to get to They Said It and go over everything that they said yesterday in sports momentarily. This is Joe, though, in the car. Hey, Joe.
Hey, man.
What's up?
You're so right, buddy. How are you, buddy? It's been a while since I've called, but Hillman, you're so right. Wiggy, it's becoming so hard for me to listen to you, buddy, because when Hillman gives you facts, when you try to compare Cora to Mayo, which is totally apples and oranges, he shuts you down with facts, and you just kind of like want to just go right by it. Like, listen to me. When a coach can make decisions, like whether or not to start the quarterback, you know, is it his call? Is it the front office call? That's already a red flag in itself as far as coaching. And coaching must have 100% control of this team. And it's clearly, we have heard time and time throughout the year, is it Mayo's call? Is it the offensive coordinator's call? Is it a Kraft's call? It's just ridiculous. Mayo, the stage is too big for this guy. Mm. I really, truly believe this. He's a great guy. I love the guy. But he cannot coach this team. He's
Joe.
Not the coach of the
Joe,
New England Patriots.
But when I give you facts. When I give you facts.
And let me tell you something, Wiggy.
When I give you facts.
I'm going to leave it like this. I'm going to leave it like this.
Well, you don't want to answer
Wiggy,
my question?
I'm going to answer your question, but you have become so hard for me to listen to.
All right, you said that already. You already said that.
This is going to be the last time that I listen to the Greg Hill show.
All right, Joe.
Because I got to go.
Well, he doesn't want to answer. When I gave him facts about Dan Campbell's first year, Kyle Shanahan's first year.
Belichick lost 5 or 6 seasons.
Belichick's 5 or 6 seasons, but even Bill's first year, Andy Reid's first year, and how they all struggled as coaches as far as wins and losses. And those are facts like where you just don't fire guys after 1 year.
You think Gerard Mayo is going to be Andy Reid?
I didn't say he was going to be Andy Reid. Okay, I don't know what Gerard Mayo is going to be.
Okay, but there are lots of head coaches who have struggled in their first year who have not made it very far in this league.
Right, and I'm not saying that Mayo's not one of those guys.
There are just as many examples of that. I think you can identify whether somebody has it or doesn't have it, and you can cut bait because you're worried about the development of your most important asset, and that is Drake May.
But I would say this, Greg. The Patriots roster is the worst in the NFL.
I get that, Curtis.
So if you
But you tell me all the time that it's the same roster that it was last year.
It's similar, and I'm not saying Mayo's done a good job. Like
The only difference is the improvement at quarterback.
But right, he's improved this season, right?
Right.
I would say.
Yeah, I'm saying your roster got, when you say it's the worst in the NFL, it got better at the most important position by far.
Right, but the offensive line is the worst in the NFL. His receivers are the worst in the NFL.
Right.
The defense lost its middle linebacker for the season. Barmore was out with whatever he's had with the
blood clots.
You've had Keon White, who hasn't been very good. The roster in general, it would really be similar to the Red Sox firing Chaim Bloom, from my perspective. I know it's not the coach, it's the GM, but if this roster was coached by Andy Reid, they'd win 3-4 more games, I would give you that, but we all thought Dan Campbell was a punchline.
Right.
Like, when he got blown out by Bailey Zappi, and he's up there, like, basically crying at the post-game podium, like, I don't know if I had to guess right now, I don't think Gerard Mayo is going to be a 10-year, very successful head coach, if I had to put money on it.
Yeah.
But I also understand what Wiggy's saying, which is the perspective I didn't understand, which is that how people would view this opportunity, given how little Gerard Mayo had to work with, how green he was when he was hired, and how short the leash was.
Look at your boy, even your boy Boomer, when he was like, you know, was it Jacksonville that fired Frank Wright?
No, it's Carolina.
Carolina. Excuse me. Carolina fired Frank Wright through, what, 10 or 11 games into his first year? Like, I get it. There are mistakes that Gerard Mayo has made. Has this team regressed in certain areas? Of course. You're following the greatest coach of all time. Mm-hmm. So there is going to be this area of where you regress as a team, yeah, especially when you don't have no. I would, you know what I would say to you, Greg? I would second your idea if this team made major moves in the offseason and they had plenty of talent and you go, Gerard just can't do it. Then I'd be like, okay, I can see what you're saying. You want to move on from a guy after 1 year. But the hand he was dealt, like the hand he was dealt, he was given no talent, and he always talks about it. And I was even a little bit like, maybe you got a little bit better talent.
Well, of course he talks about it. He wants to point the finger somewhere else.
But it's true, though.
Who wouldn't?
That's a fact. So that's a fact. That is a fact that he was given a team that had very, very... They had little talent on it.
Wiggy, it is virtually the same exact team.
And the
that
guy
Bill
won
had.
Four games last year.
Right. And on the defensive side of the football, when it comes to defending the pass, yeah, or defending the rush,
right,
they have dropped considerably.
Right.
From like 9th to 31st. And that is supposed to be his bread and butter.
Right, but you're comparing.
That's not alarming to you?
No, because you're comparing Bill.
Did you not think that one thing that would be good under a Gerard Mayo,
yes,
coach team would be the defense?
Right, but you're comparing a Bill Belichick coach defense to a Gerard Mayo coach defense.
Exactly.
One's the greatest of all. It's like trying to compare Tom Brady and his later years to Mac Jones' first year.
Yeah.
You're always going to have that drop.
Or like Arcan to Greg Hill.
All right. Let's get to They Said It, if we could, please.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, where do you want to start this morning, Shime?
Yeah, Greg, let's start with the Boston Red Sox. Craig Breslow talked to Tom Caron over at Nesson and had this to say about understanding that fans are, frustrated, but the, free agency is a process here.
Yeah, no, we are as committed as we were when we started this offseason to putting a team on the field in 25 that's capable of vying for the division and making a deep postseason run.
Go away.
We are working tirelessly to deliver the team that fans deserve. And we'll continue to do that from now until opening day and beyond. So I understand the frustration that many fans have carried for a number of years right now, and I think our players, our staff, and our front office, they share that frustration, and we intend to do everything that we can to improve our team.
In my entire lifetime, started following the Red Sox when I was probably 6, 1990, I have never seen an organization have this big of a disconnect between how they feel the relationship is with their fans and how it actually is. The way they communicate is with a total lack of an urgency of any kind. And they are, I think I'm using this right, Courtney, gaslighting,
yep,
their, yeah, fan base on a daily basis.
They are. When he says we are committed to doing everything we can to sign these guys, then why aren't you offering more than $218 million to Max Fried?
Or why aren't you saying we were in on Juan Soto, but we thought that deal, where it ended up, was just too crazy for our blood? Instead of saying we were there until the end when the reporting is that you didn't speak to the agent the whole weekend. Like, it's not the days where you can control what's in the paper. Everything gets leaked on social media. The fan base is smarter than it's ever been. They have more information than they've ever had. And they need a big signing to get the people to feel like they're actually listening.
There's not many big signings left, Curtis.
But it's just so frustrating. Like, Red Sox fans, it's shocking to me. But Ken and I do that show from Fenway whenever they're home in the summer. There still is a ton of people that go to that stadium, that invest hard-earned money, that want to see a good product. They're there 80 days a year. And this ownership group just says, sucker. Look at you, idiot. You I got a Post Malone contract.
Sunday till 11:59 p.m.
But honestly,
make
like,
a move.
Just go away. Like, what are you even saying? We understand. You have no effing clue.
Yeah.
You have more money than God, and you're sitting there getting outbid for all the people that you said that you were interested in.
We got to take a break. We'll get to the rest of They Said It next. Courtney back from jury duty for one day, and we'll get to the news in about 15 minutes at 8, and then it is a Celtics Wednesday, and Mego will be in here to talk Celtics at 9, but we were in the middle of They Said It. What do you want to get to next, Shime?
Well, Greg, we've been talking a lot about it this morning, non-sports related. That would be the UFOs that have seemed to invade our airspace. Yeah, I know you are petrified, terrified that the aliens have come for us.
I don't understand why others aren't. It's the way they do it in every movie. They start circling around with their spacecraft. Nobody pays attention. And then before you know it, you got some tiny little green guy telling you what you can and can't do.
Or well, it's E.T. and you find a best friend.
You could. I mean, they are friendly in some cases.
Well, Greg, there's another guy who's concerned about it. He's noticed it. He's very aware of the situation. That would be Aaron Rodgers. Here is Aaron Rodgers talking about the UFOs over New Jersey.
Do you know what's been going on in Jersey lately?
Well,
and I'm not talking about the football. Not to talk about the football. There's been some crazy things going on. There's some drones in the sky. Yeah, there's some interesting things going on. Maybe it's just some kids messing around. Maybe not, though. There was a senator that just made a comment about it, keeping our citizens safe. They need to tell us what's going on, if it's military or non-military or UAP or whatever the hell it is. But there's people in Jersey. It's, you know, it's people interested. What the hell's going on with these drones? I'm thinking about having a Friday night 5E experience where you have a big kind of meditation circle, and then you call in the aliens and you use little green lasers to bring them in. So thinking Friday night, maybe doing, if it's a nice night and it's a clear night, might try and have a little 5E experience, bring them in.
Alien drones on, watching alien drones on ayahuasca must be a completely different experience, I would assume. Or shrooms.
I don't know if
they're
actually aliens in that scenario.
Probably shrooms. Ayahuasca, I think, makes you like throw up and
does it?
Yeah, poop your pants, I think.
Well, that's how I feel when I listen to them.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, next, Greg.
Wait, people take something that makes them poop their pants on purpose?
Yeah, they say that. Well, I believe that the ayahuasca.
Yeah, it's called Ozempic.
What? I believe that it's supposed to, what the spiritual guide will tell you is it like it's all of your toxins and all of your fear and emotional trauma like coming out of you.
Expelling it.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
I think you might be right, Courtney. I hate to say it. I think you might be right on that guy. I maybe he is done.
Yeah, he's done.
I don't know if he's coming back.
Yeah. I don't know. You were off on Bill being done.
Yeah.
Well, I said he was never going to coach in the NFL again.
No, you did it. Nice try there. It's okay to admit. I said he's not going to coach in the NFL again. I'm wrong all the time.
I admit it all the time.
It's okay to admit you were wrong.
Well, I mean, I'm wrong 24/7. But this one.
He wanted to coach in the NFL. He just didn't get a gig.
It's okay. All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, talking about coaching in the NFL and not getting a gig, here is what Nick Wright had to say about the idea of Bill Belichick going to UNC.
I have a different theory about why all of a sudden Belichick is looking at the college game, and I think it's twofold. One is, I think he is very nervous that he is not going to get, if he waits for the NFL jobs, he's not going to get one. That there's going to be 7 or 8 openings and 7 or 8 teams are going to pass. And if that happens, his coaching career is kind of over.
Yeah.
The other thing is everyone assumed he's at 333 total wins. Shula's at 347, that it's so important to him to go get that record. I wonder if Bill is doing the same math I'm doing, which is saying, all right, even if you go get that record, are you just holding it for a year for Andy Reid? Andy is at 296. Since Patrick has been there, they average 15 wins a year, playoffs and regular season combined, 15 a year. He's going to end this season right around 300 if he's at 296 right now. He'll be 47 away from Shula himself.
Yeah.
That means 3 great years or 4 mediocre years.
Yeah, I mean, I we can debate this all day long, whether or not he has any offers or whether he has chosen college because it matters to him when it comes to his legacy, and to be able to go there and win a national championship and turn a program around is something that he looks at like a challenge.
Right. It's you got to be...
What a fall from grace.
You got to be careful because the UNC could not tarnish your legacy, but it could be the doodle stain on your legacy when people go back and like look at him at UNC. And if he's just like,
yeah, but do people look at Michael Jordan like that when he went to the Wizards?
But if he's just 8-4, but if he's 8-4 going to bowl games, like if he's going in a pinstripe bowl,
yeah, but he just wants, if that's the case, he just wants to coach. Like it's just,
I mean, let's be honest. The greatest coach of all time.
And he always will be.
But like it puts a little doo-doo stain on. Yeah, because you might, Sean, you might think it doesn't, but there are plenty of people I know that look at Jordan and go, that whole Washington Wizards thing was dumb. It wasn't a great, great look.
But I've been told that Bill doesn't care what we think. Why would that be dictating?
No, I'm not saying he cares, but it will be part of his story.
So he's afraid?
I don't know. Just be part of his story. If he goes to UNC...
Right, so he's afraid to have this be part of his story?
No, I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying that this could be if he goes to UNC and they're just an average team that just going to...
Honest question, which do you think is easier, quicker to turn around, an NFL team or a college football program?
An NFL team. If you're Bill. Yep.
I don't know. I look at what Deion did in Colorado. That was overnight.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
I think with the influx of NIL.
But if you're Bill, isn't he held to a way higher standard
than Deion Sanders? No,
For wins and losses, yes.
No, I think that if Bill goes, let's say Bill took what's a bad team that's open right now?
UNC.
I mean in the NFL. Let's say he takes the Raiders gig. Okay, just throwing it out there, and they go 3-14 and 5-12, and he's like, this isn't for me, that is far more damaging than if he goes to UNC and after 3 years decides it's not for him.
No, but if he goes, because he would have performed poorly. If he, say, he went to the Raiders and he took them to the playoffs 2 years in a row and then went to, I think that's viewed better than going to college and just having a team be...
No, but that's not right. If he's successful, obviously he'd be successful in the NFL. That would be the best because it would get him the record and he would be successful. We're saying, or I think we're saying...
Where if he's bad at both places...
If he's bad, which would be worse for him?
I think he has an advantage when it comes to recruiting, and I think it would be quicker for him to turn around a program like UNC because I think... I just think that college kids look at it a little bit differently. Yes, it's turning into... Like, everybody compares it to the NFL, and that's why Nick Saban left, and but whatever.
Yeah, but Bill's used to the money aspect already from being in the NFL.
He had the best point off air, and it was, maybe the kids don't care, the parents sure as hell do.
The parents will. Because you got to think, right, if Bill is, and Brady and them talked about it, like, Bill's not holding his tongue for an 18, 19-year-old when he goes, listen, I could go get some kid from Foxborough High School to do this. The way that a lot of these young kids are built nowadays are very sensitive. And look at the college football landscape. And we're talking about Georgia. There are kids jumping in the portal left and right. So if Bill's coaching and a lot of kids can't handle that type of coaching style, they're in the portal. And
but
he's clearly not paying kids.
I think people are coming around on the fact that coaching style doesn't necessarily lead to wins. And so you pick the example of it, Mike McDaniel or, Gerard Mayo or whomever. Mm-hmm. Like there are some who are looking at it and going, you don't need, they're playing football. They're playing college football. They're playing professional football. You don't need to hire somebody who's going to be their best friend and hold their hand the whole time.
Right, but those are pro guys, Greg. And that's where I just wonder, it'll be an interesting thing to see how young people like 19, 20-year-olds handle some of the way he'll be coaching.
What's next? Anything else?
I got one more for you here if you want it. Just a real positive thing from Dan Orlovsky today for you about Drake May. He was asked who he believes the best quarterback from this past rookie class could end up being, And he said our guy, Drake May.
I think Drake May's got the chance to be the most jaw-dropping, kind of the stuff that we saw from Josh Allen and Matthew Stafford this past Sunday type of stuff. The stuff we've seen from Joe Burrow. A little bit of that is going to be dependent upon kind of what they do around him. I was the person who was like, Drake May shouldn't play meaningful games this year. That offensive line is not good. I was very cautious of putting him out there when they did. He's been unbelievable. I think the stuff that I've been floored with is a lot of the things that were unknowns of his game in Carolina, kind of the way that he would get through progressions, or could he work the middle of the field a ton, or kind of read full field throws, meaning start from the right and go to the left. He didn't do that at Carolina. It was so RPO-centric, so you didn't know. And then the mechanics have gotten so much cleaner. And just making different types of throws, Deepa. You know, sometimes driving it, sometimes floating it, sometimes pinning it on a guy's back shoulder. Yeah, didn't do that a ton at Carolina. I think he's got a chance to be an unbelievable star.
Our boy, okay. Dan.
All right, there you go. Chime had to squeeze that one in.
Yeah, leave everybody on a positive note. It's a lot of negativity around Bill and around the Red Sox and the Bruins. I had to stick that one in.
And also, like, three UConn guys, of course, talking.
Very important. All right. That is They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. And Courtney with today's news next, including French fry rage, which led to violence in California.